Are we not gonna have a third one?
I'd like to call this meeting for Public Works Committee in order for Monday, March 4th, 2024. We have Public Works Director Gary Capping, City Administrator Jason Canope, Counselor Sandy Thomas, and myself, Sid Washburn. Is there any changes to the?
No, sir.
Can I get approval of the minutes?
Yes.
We have approval of the minutes. Public comment for anything that's not listed.
I got one waiting to get in. You wanna ask that question again?
Do we have anybody on there that?
Somebody just signed in, yeah.
What's this? Stars?
Star six, if they wanna ask a question.
If you have any questions, dial star six to get in. None. All right, we'll be moving on. Committee members' comments.
I don't have any tonight.
Counselor Thomas?
It looked like Gary has his budget thing looking, you know, it's, I mean, it's nice that you have it all mapped out so we can, doesn't mean I understand it still, but it's definitely there and easy to look at if I get them right. So thank you for that.
All right, we'll move on to the budget review.
All right, so this is a very, very rough draft of the budget. Actually, as I was putting this together, I found a couple changes that I need to make, but there's some things that still haven't been put into this yet because we're waiting for some numbers. Like the total cost of the insurance, and then there's a bunch of admin fees that haven't been included yet. So, but we wanted to get in front of you just so I could talk about the major changes that I know for sure is gonna happen, or capital projects. So if you wanna start on first page, we'll just kinda jump through these changes pretty quickly unless you guys have questions, and then I'm happy to stop and answer them. So the first one is building. We didn't do as well on mechanical fees, so I've dropped that down a little bit from what I budgeted last year. The plan review fees, we also dropped down just a touch. You know, some of the building out there is coming to the end, so we're gonna have this little bit of a lag between those ones ending and the next subdivision being done and ready to build houses. So some of those numbers have came down just a little bit. Direct wages have bumped up. Of course, you'll see that across all my funds as people advance through steps of their career here. So with that, of course, PERS goes up a little bit. And then one of the things we dropped down quite a bit was the computer software maintenance. That's kind of being done different than it was done in the past. So that's the reason for that to drop. We did leave some money in there just in case we need to do something with it. And then on the next page, or on the back side of that page, postage I bumped up quite a bit because we had way more this year than we did in the past. So I bumped it up just in case we have the same kind of thing going on. Travel and training, I bumped up. Jason is pursuing some more plumbing certifications and things like that, so I want to make sure there's enough money in there to get him trained on that stuff. And then natural gas went up because it's being allocated a little different than it had been in the past.
Is that going to be enough for natural gas?
Yeah. Should be fine. So the next one would be streets. And then you'll see the same thing, like direct wages went up a little bit, or down a little bit because Shaman came out of that into more of an administrative thing. So his wage popped out of there more than would typically be in there. Now that he's the public works foreman, so that did alter that just a little bit. Fuel, oil, and tires, we bumped up a little bit. just because the price of fuel hasn't came down, continues to rise. And then street signs, we bumped up a couple thousand dollars just because we're seeing more age out, more that we need to replace because their reflectiveness is not as good as it should be. And then operating materials and supplies, we bumped up just because cost of everything was went up and it's costing us more to buy the material that we typically buy. And then on the back page of that, you'll see a transfer in of $150,000 into the capital fund. I'm anticipating leaving that number the same, just depends on what the admin fees and things like that come in. Those may have to adjust a little bit as I go through the budget. So the next one would be streets capital. And then at the first highlighted one, you'll see where that $150,000 comes in. And then underneath that, you'll see where the CEP projects goes up, just because we have more CEP projects this year in streets than we had last year. I bumped up the sidewalk improvement program from 28 to 40 because I would like to try and catch up on those things that have kind of been put off a little bit because we've been more worried about water and sewer and stuff that, and we didn't have time to go contract that stuff out. So I'm hoping to do a little bit more work there. And then the street refurbishment, you'll see went down quite a bit. That's because I've spent all of that ODOT exchange money except for what they gave us this year. So we'll either start building that fund back up or we'll do some smaller slurry seal projects with it. And then I left the street maintenance program the same at $300,000. Street system development, there were really no changes there, so nothing to really talk about. Same with the bike path reserve fund and the prairie road fund. If I can get this page apart. In the prairie road fund, like always, the expense line, the street improvements, the $218,000 that's in there is what was started in that fund when Ross Murray had to supply the money for that. So I always leave that in there just so you can see where it started and what interest we've got from that. So, water fund would be the next fund. And the first highlighted one is merchant fees. They came in a little higher than I was anticipating. Going to the new program and them collecting more of the merchant fees and us paying less. So I bumped that back up just a little bit because we came under what I anticipated we would. Travel and training, this is the year that I bump up pretty heavily for training and travel. We're kind of on that 2-year cycle to renew all of our license, so I have a lot of people that need to renew in the next year, so we're gonna be spending a lot of that and a lot of time in classes and getting our CEU so we can recertify. Operating materials and supplies, I bumped that up 10,000 just because the cost of everything has went up. Treatment chemicals has dang near doubled on me since last year's budget, so we bumped that up to 40,000. And then on the back page, electricity has went up, so we bumped that up to 120,000. And then the transfer to water capital of 320,000. And like I said, that transfer may adjust just depending on what comes in as admin fees and insurance and the things that aren't quite in the budget yet that I'm going to need in there before I can make a full decision on how much we want to transfer. So on the capital side of water, fire sprinkler fee, I put a dot next to it because I missed a zero in there. That should be 10,100, not 1,100. So I've already fixed that. I fixed that today when I got back to work. The transfer from water, you'll see that on the next line. And then again, another transfer and another transfer. And if you add all those up, that's that 320 that we transferred in. So jump down to CEP projects. You're gonna see a very big number there. That's because we have a lot of very expensive things to do this year. A whole bunch of stuff in water, as far as like motors and motor starters and really big ticket items that need to be either rebuilt or replaced. Operating system maintenance, that went down a little bit just because we're so tight in the capital fund after kinda spending a lot of money this year on well rehabs and things like that. It should be plenty in there for what we need to do. And then in the system development fund, I kinda put a $200,000 placeholder in there, not knowing if we're gonna need it for some more well stuff or not, but it doesn't wipe the fund out, but it takes the balance down quite a bit. And then on the next page, the sewer fund. I added this DEQ permit fee line item in there. It's never been in there. I've always just kinda paid it out of personnel service or professional services. But I think it's good for you guys to see what that fee actually is. So that's a fee that we have to pay them every year. And then I&I abatement supplies, I put $50,000 in there. Which was also originally taken out of the capital fund. But trying to be more transparent of where that money's going, I wanted to show it. Then the laboratory analysis, we bumped up to $10,000 just because we're currently, at this point, we're shipping more stuff out to the labs than doing things in-house until we figure out with the new property, if we wanna get the lab set up out there, how it wants to be set up, and what tests we wanna run in-house. So currently we're shipping things out just to make sure that we're doing everything right. And then again, the merchant fees we bumped up, travel and training we bumped up. And then you'll see on the next page, the pump station repair. That we bumped up to $10,000 just because parts are costing us more money. And then that transfer into the sewer capital of $554,500 is my best guess right now. We'll probably have to readjust that quite a bit. Go ahead.
Are you beginning fund balance? Did I miss something?
Beginning fund balance of
for sewer for $7,745,000.
Where are you looking?
Sewer
capital.
No,
so the main
fund.
Sewer fund.
Okay.
Oh,
I think you maybe added a zero.
Yeah, it might be a typo.
All right.
Yeah, we'll fix it.
I didn't know if you just, I don't know.
I probably fat fingered a zero in there.
Perfect.
Yeah, I try and make those a little closer than that, so.
You just noticed you had $8 million as your ending fund balance.
Yeah, it's a little high.
That doesn't
especially after transfer $500,000. It's a little high. I will correct that tomorrow.
Perfect, thank you.
No problem. Sewer capital, you'll see the transfers in those same three spots. And the reason it's transferred in three spots, I don't know, I didn't explain it at water, but we break those funds up, the capital funds up into three different sections. So I transfer money into each one of those sections individually so that we have money to pay for those things that are in those sections. And the only other big change was the operating system and repair. That's $150,000 that's in there. And that's a new line item that I had Mike put in to cover sewer's portion of some meter repair and maintenance. We've always used money for that, but it's never really shown that sewer should pay for part of that too, because that's how we bill for sewer. So again, just trying to be transparent on where I'm spending money from. There it is. And then the system development, the highlighted one says 300,000. I caught that today. That should be 3 million. And that's just because we don't know what we're gonna have to spend for the sewer treatment plant upgrade. Any questions on those ones so far?
Anybody have any questions?
I'm kind of whipping through them pretty fast, so if you do have a question, feel free to stop me anytime. Sanitation. So sanitation, you'll see where that beginning fund balance goes up a bit. That is figuring that 18% increase that we talked about at the last council meeting. Garbage collection revenue is where you're going to see that increase quite a bit. So we went from 1.2 to 1.4. Preventive maintenance, medical. I raised all of these a little bit just because things are costing us more money. Gloves and materials and, you know, all the stuff that we use that's required by OSHA. And then solid waste, there's a typo there where it says 200,000, that should be 262,000. They spent 261,000 last year, so going down to 200 is probably not an option for me. So. Legal counsel, I bumped up just in case. There was a little extra money in there, so I thought, you know, depending on what happens with sanitation, I wanted to make sure we had some legal fees in there that we could use if we needed to. And then on the next page, you'll see the transfer in. Again, an estimated transfer until we get all the numbers in of $380,000 into the capital fund. So, next page is the sanitation capital fund. You'll see the transfer on the second to last line. And then the capital projects, I put $310,000 over there, $500,000, in hopes that that number stays that same so we can start trying to pick up some new trucks for sanitation. And then you'll see the equipment went up $10,000 just because dumpsters and stuff are starting to cost us more money. And you see the utility assistance fund, I made no changes to it. I just kind of carried everything through that was in there. Which takes us to the Public Works Administration Fund. And the first one's for planning. You see the contract services I bumped up just because we're using LCOG more than we had in the past. And, you know, it's costing us a little more money than we anticipated, but we just bumped that up to cover that cost. Really the biggest change in that one. And then the next one down would be the Public Works Administration Fund for Public Works itself, not for planning. On the back page of that, you'll see where I bumped up operating materials and supplies about $1,500, but everything else remained virtually the same. That's kind of it for big changes. Like I said, water has the most capital projects this year, and we've got quite a few to do, which is going to keep us plenty busy. But if you guys have any questions about changes or...
What about fuel?
Fuel and Public Works I didn't bump up, and everything else I bumped it up just a little bit to cover. But administrative-wise, we're pretty solid on what we were using. Sewer, streets, and sanitation and water I bumped up a little bit just to cover. But I bumped it up quite a bit last year to cover because we knew the fuel prices were really high. So I didn't think it needed such a drastic increase as it did the year before, but I mean, it kind of stabilized for the most part. So at least for now.
Yeah. Councilor Thomas, you got any questions?
No.
Councilor Gamble, you got any questions?
I don't right now. I do have one comment. I think it's kind of fun to see, you know, your merchant fees went from 23,000 to 14,000 to 500 on one. That was in sewer. And then on water, I saw the same kind of drop.
That's because we're not paying that merchant fee anymore.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's kind of in the bill now, so.
Right, I think that's great though, because you're giving people the opportunity to not pay it instead of the city just paying it automatically.
Yeah, and then I missed the mark a little bit last year, and I was a little bit low, but not horribly.
Yeah, I mean that between those two, that's almost a annual savings of. What it is, it's an annual savings of almost $25,000 every single year that you are now able to use that for other things instead of just paying the bank. So I think that was pretty cool. When will we look at this again?
April 11th?
Next regular committee meeting.
And then
committee after that.
Okay. Well, yeah.
It'll be April and then April 11th.
I thought that was a good overview. So thank you.
Yeah, we should have it dialed in a little bit better by the next meeting, and I'll make adjustments and bring it back.
We don't have it dialed in by then. We're in trouble.
I'm not in trouble, but somebody's in trouble.
Well, thank you. Let's move on to your solid waste rate resolution.
Okay, so this is a request for the committee to review and approve the resolution for the rate increase for solid waste according to the operational analysis. At the August 23 meeting, we selected SES to do that analysis. We brought that back. Then, of course, we went out for the RFP to see if someone could do better. That didn't come around to show that anybody could really beat us, so it was my understanding that we were going to move forward with the 18% increase, which was the lowest rate increase for the analysis. So I put together the resolution for that, which is attached for you guys' review, and in that resolution, it kind of got what the rate will be, and then also attached is SES's operation analysis recommendation.
And did I read somewhere where we weren't going to have the yard debris every month?
It's twice. Every other week.
Right.
Just like
was it change? Oh, state. Yeah. Okay. Somewhere I thought was going. Okay.
No, stays. Everything that we do is staying the same.
Okay. I just misread something.
So, I remember there being. Oh, sorry. Can I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, in addition to the 18%, I recalled there being a couple other considerations in there, like maybe going to financing some of the equipment, or
that 18% is adding short-term borrowing.
Say it again.
The 18% is with short-term borrowing.
Short-term.
So
borrowing.
We would borrow money for a truck on a short-term basis and pay that back.
And what's the definition of short-term?
We could pick anywhere between 3 and 10 years.
Seven is what's in the plan.
Yeah, so between 3 and 10, but 7 on average. So instead of paying cash for a new vehicle, a new truck, you'd short-term finance it, raise it 18%. Was there something about adding dumpsters as well, a dumpster service, or is that not part of
it? Dropbox?
Yeah,
that
Dropbox.
Was with the 21% increase, which I didn't get clear direction from the council on, so I just did the 18%.
Yeah.
I didn't want to jump the gun and go, hey, we're going to raise it 21% just because I want to, you know, so I went with that lowest option because I had to get something in the budget. And mm-hmm. if at the council meeting you guys direct me to do something different, I'm happy to change that, but.
You're right, and I'm just kind of trying to refresh my own mind. I'm not trying to give direction or anything.
Yeah, so with 18% short-term borrowing, we've reached out to a company that's kind of gave us a couple ideas of how we could do that, what that payment would look like. I think it's biannually, isn't it? Biannual correct. Payment. So we have some ideas of what that will look like if we decide to go with them,
mm-hmm.
Which might not be a bad option to get two new trucks right away and then... kind of scale that back, but we'll see how that lays out.
Yeah.
There's definitely more to look at besides just the numbers that I saw on a piece of paper and in an email. But that's kind of our plan at this point, is short-term borrowing for trucks and then you know, kind of moving forward with everything as it is today, at least at this time.
Yeah. Because you don't have something in there at this point that would allow you to do drop boxes or more drop boxes. It's just the same as what you're already doing.
Correct.
But there was some other ideas about maybe expanding that.
Yes.
But again, I'm not saying we decided anywhere. So you're trying to get this done to kind of keep that discussion going because the council's got to approve this if we're going to do it or if we're not going to do it. Am I understanding that right? That's why this is at the committee
today. They want to stay in business. So the only way to stay in business is to at least do it the 18%.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is a step in keeping that moving along.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
And that's why it's at the committee. Okay.
Yeah, because everything that has to be done for a rate increase has to be done by resolution, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, looking at like a 35-gallon, it's only $3.40 more a month, and 65 gallons only up $5.
Yeah, it's not a huge increase, but it does make a big increase in the budget when we add up all the accounts that we have.
And we have, I feel we got to do it to stay afloat with sanitation.
What size is 65 gallon?
What?
That's the middle.
It's the middle can.
Middle can for garbage.
The ones that are kind of little are 35 gallons?
Yeah.
Oh.
The ones that fall over all the time because they're top heavy, those ones, yeah.
Got it. Cool. Well, thank you for letting me have those comments.
Councilor Thomas, you got any
comments? Oh, well, just that I thought we had kind of, this is what we had came to keep our own garbage service. It was in line and still the best deal we ever made. Did I misunderstand that? Or
no.
Okay.
No, that's...
That was what I took away from the meeting?
Yeah, that's what I did to another one.
What?
Getting the best that we can get for our taxpayers.
This resolution will be at the next council meeting. Actually, the only thing out of this packet that will be at the next council meeting. Some of the other stuff I'll have to skip the first one and go to the second one.
So. Everybody agree with that, taking it back to council?
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind that this rate resolution doesn't go into play right away.
Either. Right.
I mean, it's going to go into play until July. So we have some time to get some education out so people aren't, like, blasted with a rate increase.
Okay. Let's move on to sewer treatment plant compliance schedule.
So this is some information on what DEQ is requiring us to complete in time frames that they have set for us for our new treatment plan. So as we move forward with the pre-design, we need to keep in mind that there's other things that we have to be doing at the same time. But I don't think you guys have ever seen the compliance schedule that was set by DEQ. So I wanted to get this in there so that you guys have a good idea of not only why I'm bringing you stuff, but when I'm bringing you stuff, what it's for. So it is quite a bit of work, and between the engineer and staff and Elaine, we're picking off multiple things at one time. So we're kind of ahead of schedule a little bit, But I'd rather be ahead than right on, because right on means I'm behind. So, so this is, you know, it's a 10-year plan to get there for completion, but that doesn't mean we don't have to be online before that 10 years is up. So.
Nothing. Just to point out, the big thing behind this particular compliance schedule is it breaks everything into two projects, two phases.
Yes.
You know, and the first one is kind of the big one that gets us caught up to where we should be.
Yes.
If we wouldn't have been through all of the things we had in the past. But it gives us more time for the second phase project, which has to deal with a lot of wetlands issues, the archaeological issues, all these things that we know that take more time. DEQ didn't want to give us all the time in the world, but they were willing to do so if we broke it into two projects and put everything in that first project that they were the felt that was the most pressing, and get that done first while we're working on, had the time to work on these longer picture ones that would take a little longer to get done. Hmm. But DEQ didn't want to necessarily delay everything by that long. So basically, the first phase is the treatment side of it. The second piece is really breaks down to being the storage. I think it's probably the simplest way to put,
yeah,
put that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think they wanted to give us, what, a year for the archaeology study? And
yeah,
we talked to people with the archaeology study, and they just kind of laughed at us. Hey, a year's not enough time. So.
Because we got to do it over the whole 300 acres that we have out there, and we know there's stuff not out there. It's not a, yeah, that's a win.
Yeah. So it doesn't take much. It's, you know, a piece of an arrowhead. Then they start mapping out, okay, this is what you've got to do if you're going to dig in this area. This is how far out you got to go and how deep you got to go. And it's very much going to be a pain in the butt.
The third Maple Forest meeting, we moved that, what, three times?
Yes.
To get it out to the plant, because we came across arrowheads or whatever, and so we had to move the whole freaking thing, trying to find a spot to get across Flat Creek. And moved it like three times, four times.
You want me to tell you where to start digging?
What's that?
You want me to tell you out there where to start digging? No. On that property?
No, we're good, thank you.
So is this all the way to Washburn then?
Yeah.
Because that's where there's...
Yeah, so we'll have to incorporate every bit of land we have out there for the archaeology study. There's no reason to break that up and do a little piece here and a little piece there. It's all got to be done, so you might as well just do it.
And do we own all that already? Right?
Yes. So we own...
So who's doing the sheep?
The sheep are actually on a piece of ground that we're leasing.
Oh, for the time being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we leased that 60 acres for that last property that we bought. Well, we continued their lease, so they didn't run out of their lease when we bought it. So we left their lease in place till, I think, October of this year. And then we'll reevaluate. I mean, if we're not going to do anything with the property, we'll probably lease it to them again and let them farm it. But it's better than us mowing it. But, you know, once they have that lease, it's kind of their piece of ground to do what they want to do with. So. Although DEQ does not like sheep very close to the lagoon anymore. They're worried about the overspray when we irrigate. I don't know why. These are the fun things that Elaine and I get to deal with. So, but yes. So I wanted to make sure you guys had at least seen this, because it's going to be a long project. And hopefully I'm here when we get it up and running, but I probably won't be here at the end of this.
So. By the time we get to some of this stuff, that'll be outdated, and there'll be something else that will come in.
Well, the design is 20 years, but we'll be 10 years into the number done. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
And this is only good until October of 28?
Yes. So.
So how far north does that property go from?
We go north of our lagoons, 80 acres.
Is that all the way to?
It incorporates Flat Creek, and it goes, there's another piece of farmland after us, but not much. So.
Like on that map behind you, Gary, like roughly where are we talking about here?
So we own this, we own this, we own this all the way to Washburn, right here, the 60 acres.
How far?
This farther out here, sorry. We own this piece, we own this piece. We own this basically from like right here up to there. And then we own this piece like out to here and over the Flat Creek right here.
Okay.
So we'll own all of this piece right there. We own a lot of property and not enough, if that makes sense. I mean, we have a lot out there, but it's not enough to do what we're going to be required to do in the future. So.
You mean like what, 500 acres in sum total at some point in the future?
Yeah, I think it was 500, maybe a touch more than 500.
And we're about halfway there?
Yeah, I think our next approach will be with Hayworth. They have a couple hundred acres just north of the property we just bought.
The Guyes, are they still out that way?
I think it's mostly...
The cabin, they have the...
I think it's mostly Hayworth out there now, but... they have some property there that, you know, eventually I want to have a conversation with Mary, and if they don't want to sell it to us and keep farming, at least maybe give us first right if they want to sell it. But that's not a conversation that I've had with them yet. So, but I think it makes the most logical sense for the city to try and get that property if it becomes available.
So is the 20-year plan, is that the part what would you're thinking might include like the nature trail?
Yes.
Through some of those areas?
Yes. Yeah, I think that would be on a shorter term plan than the 20, but yes.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot to this.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting. It was interesting before we got into it with DEQ, now it's even more interesting. And I'm using interesting very vaguely.
You've been wanting this for so long, and now that you have it, it's so interesting.
Yes. Just their process in general. It's like, you know, we know what we need to do, but man, it's not an easy way to get there. So, but we are on that road now, so we're just going to keep driving down it.
And this may not be a question for you, but does that mean that we slow down with our building? It might be, since if we don't have enough for the sewer in their building, and that has to somehow connect in.
Well, Rob just did a study on what we could still take in, which is quite a bit. Elaine doesn't like it because it gives it all to her, but you know,
there's a lot of things you can do to create more capacity.
Yes.
Whether it's additional treatment aspects, whether it's actually investing funding into the INI work to reduce the flow out to the lagoons. I mean, there's a way to balance that all out and, you know.
Send it up the river?
And that's like, if you go back to the sewer one where I put $50,000 in there for INI work, I have a plan in my head for that $50,000. We had a manhole reconstructed by a company that did the reconstruction of it, and then they did an epoxy lining in it, which is white, so in the middle of the night you can see in it, but it sealed that manhole completely. And we've got several manholes like that where we're taking in a bunch of water just because we can't get down there and grout those until spring or summer. But if I have that company come in and do 10, then we've wiped out those 10 manholes, right? So I've got one manhole that you can actually hear the water running into right now, but I can't fix it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we've got a plan in place to start picking some of these things off. And, you know, some of that's more expensive work, more pipe work and things like that, or point repairs. But if we can pick off those manholes first and we know we're getting that, that's a good start, to start knocking some of that down.
Do you mind telling me again what INI means?
Inflow and infiltration. So cracks or ways into our sewer system with groundwater is what it is. So if you got a, let's say, concrete or asbestos pipe, and you have a tree that's anywhere close to it, it wants to go right to that pipe. And usually what happens is that root wraps around it, and it just squeezes it and squeezes it and squeezes it until it cracks and it can get through there, right? And it wants to get to that water.
Okay.
So once it cracks that, we get all that groundwater in. That's pretty much what it is. Or if it's a really old manhole, the grout separates, you get INI.
So then when you, where is the volume of the sewer line actually calculated? Is there some...
At the pump stations.
So at the pump station, there's something that keeps track of how
much?
We have
flow meters at the pump stations that tell us how much flow is coming in.
Okay.
And so we can track that and kind of watch that grow. And if we watch that grow, then we start doing that TV work to investigate where that's coming from.
Right.
You know, during this time of the year, we'll start pulling manholes and we'll see... You know, not very much water, a whole bunch of water, no water, that's bad, but we've seen it. So, you know, and you start working down the system where it's like, okay, we're getting no water up here, but as we're getting close to that pump station, now we're getting this big flow of water. Mm-hmm. So, kind of gives you an idea where to start looking when you start TVing.
Keeping in mind, closer you get to the pump station, the deeper that line is. So the more likely it is to get the groundwater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, realistically, we can watch this manhole out here, and when we hit 8 feet, we start getting INI.
Oh.
So at 7 feet, we won't get any.
Yeah.
At 8 feet, we'll get it. But most of your sewer line is typically 8 feet or deeper, so that's kind of where that comes in at.
So if you... if you compare your pump station number to your water supply number, how different is it?
A lot.
Oh, so a lot of groundwater. Is that an accurate number to compare it to? Is that, or I don't even know, I don't know how this works.
It's close. I mean, when you know, it's hard because when you drink water, you don't expel all that water, right?
Right.
When you use water, you don't expel all that water. So the number's not identical. But
in wintertime, we're about 400,000 or 500,000 on the water side, and
a million,
you know,
million plus
coming into the plant.
Right now?
Yeah.
We're
close to 4 million?
Yeah, we're 3.7, I think, last time
so
I looked.
Where people are consuming 500,000 gallons a day worth of water, and we're having to treat and dispose almost 4 million gallons worth of water.
So that's what Jason was saying. If you get rid of INI, you increase your capacity in your lagoon, right? Because now we're not treating all that groundwater. Now we have all that room for sewage water. And despite what some people think, it's easier to treat sewer water than groundwater, although dilution helps in some aspects, but
not
enough to offset the, you know, the downside of getting all the groundwater.
But you're saying there's 10 times as much right now than what you're supplying is coming into. It's 10, that's 4 million compared to 500,000.
Yeah, from 8 to 12 times as much is probably.
Yeah, I think today, I think we did yesterday, not today, yesterday, because I use yesterday's numbers, we distributed 600,000 gallons of water.
Okay.
But we took in 4 million at the plant. Mm-hmm. So This is huge, you know, sway in groundwater coming in.
And the older your pipes get, the more likely they are to form the cracks, get these holes in it. Some of that first round of INI work did, the bottom half of the pipe was gone.
Well, I lost my camera on one.
Yeah.
I had to dig it up because it fell off the side of it.
Literally half the pipe was gone. It just... Gone.
It fell out of the pipe.
Yeah, we're TVing it, and we got to one section, and the camera went. Just fell out of the pipe.
One of the few times I've ever seen Superintendent Tracer freak out. It was brand new.
Yeah, brand new TV, and he called me. He's like, I lost the camera.
What?
So, yeah, we got it though. We had to dig it up, but we got it.
$80,000 camera too, by the way, so it wasn't like...
You mean dig it up with the excavator?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, we had to dig it up and fix the line and get the camera back.
As soon as that old line hit the air, it just started disintegrating. So we ended up fixing a small hole to about a half a block.
Yeah, if you're ever by the shop, stop in and I'll show you what a piece of transite does when it cracks like that. I have a big chunk of it there from the last force being that broke. You can see how it's all cracked.
So does, I assume it's, this is, but again, I don't understand very much of this, so it's fun to ask questions every once in a while, but, so what, so DEQ obviously knows that, and they know that we're treating all this water that is groundwater. So is this plan based on, is it based on us fixing that, or is it realistic to, I mean, how do you fix that much?
You just got to pick it off a little bit at a time. Here's the funny thing, and I was sitting back there, and I raised my hand and used my address, so he knew I was probably going to say something I shouldn't.
Yeah.
DEQ requires you to do INI work.
Yeah.
Flat out, it's a requirement from DEQ.
Yeah.
They sat right here in this room and told us that INI does not make a difference. So I asked them the question, if INI doesn't make the difference, why do you require us to do it? No answer.
Okay.
So it does make a difference. We saw a big difference the last round of INI that we did, and we're going to continue to do that and pick it off and try and combat some of that groundwater from getting out there.
And that's part of with the project crew being spun up is the intent to have them be able to work on these, whether it's the collection or distribution system, pipeline replacements. Because we can't afford to contract it out.
No.
But we need to...
No, we can't afford to contract it out.
We need to address it.
Yes. So we've been picking off, I think we've done four now on the 9th Street Basin.
Mm-hmm.
Just one block lines that have made big differences in the nitrate basin. So.
And that's the nice thing about being able to TV it. You can pinpoint where you can get your best bang for your dollar.
Mm-hmm. So, so this plan isn't based on servicing 400,000 gallons of water a day. It's based on servicing 4 million gallons of water a day or something thereabouts. Like the plan that they're requiring us to implement.
So DEQ looks at it whether your plant is more than a million a day or less than a million a day.
Okay.
That's all they really care about. Other than that, they say it has to be this quality coming out.
Okay.
The interim steps are up to the city.
And we're over a million.
Right now we're under. Technically our design for our current plant is less than 1 MGD, 1 million gallons a day. This new one will be above the 1 million.
Oh, but you're saying that because it's based on the supply?
It's based on the design.
It's based on the design. Average dry weather flow. So in the middle of the summer day, what do you have coming into the plant? What's designed to come into
into it.
Mm-hmm. And there's a number they use to calculate that has nothing to do with water usage.
Oh, okay. It's completely on the drainage side.
Yeah. Yes. There's engineering numbers that every person is supposed to contribute X amount of gallons per day, the number of people, blah, there you go, there's your total.
And so our current design is for less than a million, but it's getting over 4 million a day. And our next design is going to be for over a million.
Correct.
Which will be more in line with over 4 million a day.
Correct. Even my design is all based on dry weather, summer flow, not wet weather, winter flow.
Oh. What's our dry weather flow?
Summer, on average?
Less than half a million gallons.
Yeah, 400,000-ish.
About 400,000 is.
Even when we're providing over a million a day, like we were, when the demand was that high.
On the ground.
Yeah, because people are.
Oh, because that's for watering.
And those same holes that let water in,
let water out.
Let water out too.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, this is very interesting. So sorry to take so many questions, but thank you for your time.
No worries.
Yeah.
I'd rather make sure you have the answers than leave wondering.
Yeah. Well, you don't get to focus on it very often, so it's fun to understand it a little bit.
Well, if you're ready, let's move on to the sewer treatment geotechnical work.
Yeah, so this is a request to have the committee review and approve some geotechnical work that needs to be done at the lagoon. This geotechnical work that's being done will determine how high we can build our dikes, right? So everything is either built on the strength of the dike and how high it can be, or dam strength. So, and I don't mean like dam strength, I mean like a dam, right? So this work is just to kind of look at that ground, see what kind of ground we have to see how high we can build the dike. So HBH reached out to Shannon Wilson for the geotechnical work. They proposed doing three spots at 50 feet deep to figure out what the layers look like in the ground. They plan on doing this as soon as they can, which right now they'll bury out there. They can't do it right now, but they want to get the work done as soon as they can get it done. Their scope and fee came back at $28,944. Staff's recommended that we allow HBH to use Sienna and Wilson to do this work. It's work that we're going to have to do in order to design the dikes anyway. So.
Is this somebody we've used before? Or
what's that?
Have we used this company before?
Shannon Wilson's been the ones doing the geotechnical work for HBH this whole time. So I think you guys have already approved two or three projects for them that they've been doing. They seem to be easy to work with. They don't seem to, you know, try and put us in any kind of a spot. We help them, they help us, and just kind of move forward. So their scope and fee is attached for you guys' review. Like I said, they've been a pretty good company to work with, and they provide a lot of geotechnical work in this area anyway, so it's kind of smart to go with them. So if you guys so choose to move this one forward, it'll be at the second meeting in March. Right? Like the meeting in March, yeah.
Yes.
The work session?
Yeah.
What's this?
This is kind of the layout of what they kind of do as far as like designing the dike side. So you can see how they bag it here and try and keep that strength of that dike up. Just kind of a little thing they throw in to show their work, you know.
How deep is the lagoon?
Our lagoons currently are 8 feet. We're proposing those go to 15 feet, I think was the last proposed depth of the lagoons. So.
And as part of the big picture, doing all of the wetlands and these other retaining ponds that would need the same level.
Yeah, they're going to need the same level of work. So building a dike now is much more tricky than it was 50 or 60 years ago. They require much more information, so. But they do have two different categories. It sounded like I was kind of making fun of it, but they do have two different categories where there's ones that we can just build, and there's ones that have to be dam certified. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to figure out. Do they need to be dam certified or not?
Mm-hmm. When was the one that's out there built?
The ones that are out there now?
Mm-hmm.
62, 60,
yeah, something like
63.
I thought it was closer to 68, but.
He's in the
mid-60s. Mid-60s, yeah.
I was in 65, so.
They did, prior to that, they did a digester at our shop with drying beds, and then they took everything to the Willamette. But that has since went away when they did the lagoons out there. Now going to the Willamette is absolutely impossible.
They did a drying bed over there by the shop?
Yeah, so what you do is a digester, which cooks everything, right? And then they take all that material out, they spread it on the ground, they dry it, then they get rid of it.
How long of a process is that?
It's a few days.
Wow.
Yeah, that big round part of my building down there, the one that looks like kind of a round jug, that was the digester. So all the sewage would go into there and it would cook. And then they take all the material out of it, put it into drying beds.
And now we use that building to store our long-term records in.
Yes.
It smells delicious.
Terry loves it. Terry will put on a full Tyvek suit to go in there.
And a respirator.
Just had.
I have no comment on that.
Is this true?
Yes, this is
absolutely true. Absolutely true.
I cannot make any of this up.
I'm sure that you can come down and we'll give you a tour.
Absolutely.
No, I'm wondering about the part about that's actually where our long-term record is.
Absolutely true. We're building some other record storage, but,
Terry refuses to take the old stuff into the new building.
Oh, my gosh.
It's got a very distinct smell.
Yeah, when you're handling a document that's been stored in there.
Mm-hmm. It gets musty
and new. I did not know all the exciting things that were going down there at Public Works. I have got to take a tour.
Big step up.
You guys want to move this on to council?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's move on to the understanding the city of Harrisburg.
City of Harrisburg has reached out to us and asked us at some point when they get out of their contract with Republic if we would supply sanitation services to them. So they put together a memorandum of understanding, sent it off to us. We looked at it, sent it to our attorney. They looked at it. We came back with some changes that we sent back to them. But we looked at their town and what we could provide. And, if you go back to one of those scenarios, it had a scenario and they're picking up another city, which was still in that 18% increase. So we talked about it in-house, we talked about it with the city administrator, and we believe by the time they want us to go there, we can provide that service. So this memorandum of understanding is in front of you guys tonight for your kind of review. It is a draft, it probably will change.
Let me chime in a little bit.
Go ahead.
Because I've been working most with Harrisburg on this one. So Gary's correct, they reached out to us, we kind of took a look at it, said, is this even feasible? We've been looking at other communities like Monroe, for example, because those are ones that we could do on the way to taking our garbage out. So we're talking with Michelle over there in Harrisburg saying, okay, what do you guys got? What does it look like? Talk to Gary and Jeremy saying, hey, can we do this? What would it take? So once they both had said, yep, we can do it based on these things, let's look at that. Talking with Michelle, what they're wanting to do with this MOU, it doesn't, just because we put an MOU in place, it doesn't guarantee anybody anything. At the end of the day, all it's saying is, yes, we're willing to work with you over the next time period to come up with a contract agreement to provide garbage service. They are looking to have this so they can tell their current vendor to have a nice day. Junction City is going to be doing that. We would work through it. We looked at it really from a, what do you have, what do we think it's going to cost, and what would we need to expand or do to make that happen? Can we do it in such a way that would protect the Junction City community, our residents, our customers, but still let us benefit from having a more garbage to do, because there are certain costs, like Public Works Administration, that get spread out. There's always a benefit to us. We believe, looking at that, we can set this up as another department, a separate fund within our budget, and contain all their expenses therein, and structure our contract in such a way that our folks aren't having to pay for any, but it's all based off of their customers, their rate structure, everything that way. So at the end of the day, let's say we do the first agreement for 5 years, and at the end of that 5 years, Harrisburg says, thanks, but we're done. Okay, well, their folks have paid for the startup cost for that. We can roll that into the existing structure and be fine with that. So we don't end up getting bit at the end of the day if they walk away. Kind of like how they structured their current one. So what we're looking at here is just trying to get this blessing from the council to give them the nod to say, yep, we are willing to entertain this concept further. We're willing to work on an agreement. We're willing, if we can come to an agreement, to provide this service to you all. But as I said, it doesn't guarantee, just because we create something at this MOU, it doesn't bind the city to anything other than trying to come up with an agreement. At the end of the day, if we can't come up with it, Harrisburg can do an RFP just like we did.
Would we have to supply the garbage cans?
Yes, that's part of what we would work through and how that gets financed on their nickel at the end of the day, where it's factored into their rate.
So basically what Jason and I have talked about is having sanitation budget for Junction City, sanitation budget for Harrisburg, if we were to go that route. That way we're not intertwining those two. Junction City's not paying for Harrisburg, Harrisburg's not paying for Junction City. And it keeps everything separate so that we know, let's say over 5 years, that can cost them $1.50 a month, whatever that number is, that they're paying for those cans, that our customers here are not paying for those cans.
And how many more trucks would we have to put on?
We figured two trucks. So two trucks and staff, two staff to cover it. But again, that would come out of Harrisburg's budget, not Junction City's budget. So. I think you guys have heard me say this before, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want Junction City to die, so I mean this would be a good way for us to stay in garbage for long term, you know, and start providing that service to them. They seem to be extremely excited about coming to Junction. They're not super thrilled with the customer service they get from their current provider. So, like Jason said, we took a strong look at it, a realistic look at it. And I don't see a reason we couldn't provide the service if we can come to an agreement. So.
You got any questions?
And so basically whatever was in the total in that budget item, you would add 4.5% to it, and then that would be what Harrisburg got charged? Or what in the contract here I saw that it says...
They want a franchise fee of 4.5%. So their rate structure will not look like our rate structure.
Okay.
Because we're going to charge their customers that rate, that franchise fee.
Right. So you're basically just take our rates and add 4.5% to them, and then that'd be their rates?
No, it's not that simple, but we're going to look at setting it up just like we would if it's a new department within the city. Saying, okay, here's all the expenses. We would include their franchise fee,
yeah,
and then work at that backwards, saying here's what the rate should be based off of that. Yeah.
So that would take a little time to figure out anyways.
It's going to take us couple years probably to figure it
out.
And didn't they say 5 years before their term is up or something?
Correct. Their notice period for their existing franchisee is 5 years. Mm. And that's why I mentioned with what we'd look at, we'd set up the initial startup over that same 5 year period based on the assumption we put in there another 5 year break. So that way we didn't get stuck with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just that structure somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't our dumping up further north too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both Monroe and Harrisburg logistically make sense for us because we can go either way to go to the dump that we go to. We can go through Harrisburg, jump over Peoria, or we can go straight through Monroe and we end up at the same place. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. I don't have any problems with it. I think it's an interesting concept to explore and to learn more about and find out what we find out. So that's my opinion, Counselor.
I guess my question is always, I'm not against it, but I'm just asking if they want to do this in 5 years, and if they agree to this, this is something we need to think about getting the trucks now before they're through the rough where you can't. Because you could maybe find a used one, but if not, it takes you almost 2 years or 3 years to get a truck built.
And that's part of why you see in there, we say it's a minimum, before we would be ready to do it, it's a minimum of 2 years. Part of the financing we're looking at is more of that long-term big picture that way, so we can stack things in a queue instead of every year having to reinvent the wheel. We can get kind of out there, get things going, rolling in advance, so we're not scrambling at the last minute.
Yeah, because you're right. I mean, if you want to order a new truck, you're going to have to order it a year in advance.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to get it. You're not going to get a cab chassis. You can get the box. I'll drop the box off tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I can't get the cab chassis. So.
Yeah.
Well, why would Harrisburg get the new one and we'd get the old one? I'm teasing. I'm kidding.
It'd be a combination of all, probably. I'm hoping by the time that 2 years comes around that we're working on that, we've upgraded our fleet a little bit, so we're not fighting trucks as much as we are today. So, kind of brought us back to that whole piece of being sent to us about short-term borrowing for those trucks. So.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Maybe bring copies of the draft to the work session.
We may have it tweaked a little bit by the time it goes to the work session, but it'll be at the work session.
Yeah, it'll be at the work session.
Okay.
Got confirmation from Harrisburg. They didn't have any heartburn over what the changes we wanted, but she had to walk me through some clarification of what she made a couple of comments. I'm like, what in the blue blazes is she? So we got that hammered out, so there might be a couple of minor tweaks, like misunderstanding of the percentage of what the franchise fee was and what our approach would be versus their approach. And it's a lot of semantics, but at this level, at the end of the world, it's like, so your franchise fee can be whatever you want, your folks are going to have to pay it, I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it that way, but so.
If you want your franchise fee 4% or 7%, it makes no difference, really. We're not going to eat that cost. So.
We can add it to your bill, whatever percentage you get.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
But it sounds like they're probably in a similar situation to what we learned from doing that study. And it sounds like they're thinking this is going to be cheaper than whatever they're paying right now.
It will be. We know what they're paying right now. Even with adding the franchise fee and startup costs will be cheaper.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about what we learned from that. In my opinion, that was the interesting thing because we could see that you're actually saving people 10 to 15% a year, even with the increase of 18% over folding.
Sure.
So, let's...
If nobody has anything else, we'll move on to the agenda forecast review.
Okay, well, of course, the current projects, this is the stuff we were talking about tonight. I did go back through this and I adjusted some numbers on page 4 and 5 for the well rehabs. We know that's going to run into about $125,000 now, right close to that anyway. And then for the future wells, 1 to 3 future wells, at $3.5 million. So, those are about the only changes I made on. I'm happy to add something to your next meeting if you got something you want to add or. The only thing I have really that would be coming back, hopefully we have numbers solid and I can bring back the budget the next meeting for another quick review of it. I'm sure I'll have other stuff. I know I have a wheel line out, it's a little good and stuff like that, that'll be coming. I finally got those numbers.
Okay, some garbage truck stuff at the next meeting, I would imagine.
Probably, yeah. That's kind of my idea at this point for the next meeting. Garbage truck numbers, possibly the wheel line for sure, and then hopefully another draft of the budget.
Does anybody have anything else? I have a couple of quick questions. What streets are you gonna refurbish this summer?
So Maple from 10th to 12th is getting slurry sealed this spring. So is Alder is getting slurry sealed this spring. And then this summer, we're gonna look at probably 3 crack sealing projects, which Jeremy and I need to go run around and see if things have changed since the last time we reviewed the streets to see which ones we want to go with. It doesn't take long for that to change from summer to winter. We start driving around during the winter and we're like, oh, you can't really see this during the summer, but you can see it now. So we haven't decided for sure what streets we're going to crack seal this next year. I think Jeremy's got a couple in mind. But we haven't narrowed those down completely.
And what about the vac truck? When
the vac truck is scheduled to be here in the next couple weeks, probably. They finally got it. So they got it as far as Montana, and then it sat there for like a month, waiting for parts, waiting for a wiring harness. They finally got it into Oregon 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And since our agreement was that, you know, once they got it here, they could demo it for a month, we called it back. So they wanted to demo it for a month, we're fine, we've got the other one right now, so.
At least it's not stuck up on Donner.
They did knock a little bit off the price for it, so it was stuck in Montana for a while. It decided it was going to quit there and
okay. Well, thank you.
For wiring harness to get sent to Montana, apparently. So.
Right, I had to make a brand new one. Councilor Thomas, you got anything else?
No.
Councilor Gambler? All right, well, let's adjourn the meeting at 7:43.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's the matter, Jason?